When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, folks, welcome to another edition here of France's Corner. It's the Dolphins Roundtable. My boys are back here with me, Doug Lee Durong and Mike from DolphinsTalk.com. Before we get into everything here, you know, we like to give out our own awards here on the show. And we gave much praise to Doug Lee a couple weeks back, cracking that 50,000 subscribers. That's what it was, right, for YouTube, yep. 50,000 subscribers? Yep. And, you know, I like taking full credit for that. And I did that week too. I know Doug is laughing. I can't really look at him right now, but because I'll laugh too.
Yes, and now, Doug, it was all Zach.
Right. And Doug Lee had very little to do with it. It was really the Krantz's Corner Roundtable that did it all. Look at the smile. Look at the smirk on my face when I say that. And now we have two more awards that we're hopefully getting here from Mike. Mike, tell the people what's going on and how to vote before we get on to the big win by the Miami Dolphins.
Well, people, the Sports Podcast Awards, which is somewhat of a big deal, have put us in their final 12 for two of the awards. Number one is Best Team Podcast, which we were up for last year in 2024. We didn't win, but, you know, it's nice. This is, you know, global. There's, you know, other podcasts who cover the NHL, Major League Baseball, cricket. There's a big one for cricket.
Right.
I don't know nothing about cricket. We're up against the cricket people. We got to beat the cricket people, folks. So Sports Podcast Awards, Best Team Podcast, same one we were in last year. We're nominated final 12. That's awesome. But they also nominate us for, and this one's like almost humbling, Best American Football Podcast, which they have to say American because you also have soccer, football. So go Best American. We're up against the likes of, now this is some heavy hitters here, the Kelsey Brothers, Mina Kimes, Nightcap with Shannon. Like the fact we're even in the conversation with them is awesome. Now, do I think we're going to beat out the Swifties? Probably not, but we're up for it. We're up for the challenge. So here's what I need everyone to do. I got the links up to where to vote. Maybe I'll put them here in the chat after this is on YouTube down, you know, in the chat area. And also just go to @DolphinsTalk on Twitter. And I'm going to put something up on the site. Click vote early, vote often. I think you can only vote once, but vote early and often. If you know a way to hack the system, go for it and vote for DolphinsTalk.com. Cause it's not just about us. It's about Dolphins fans overall. We're fighting the good fight on behalf of all Dolphins fans. We got to win Best Team Podcast and we got to win Best American Football Podcast and knock off, you know, the Dan Le Batard show from their perch and Phil Simms's podcast and Tom Curran for the Patriots, knock him off. We got a war here. So I need all the Dolphins fans. We might fight with each other at times talking about the fans, but we all got to come together behind one and win these awards.
I totally agree with that.
I approve this message.
Right. Vote often. Vote early, vote often. The whole deal, like Mike said. Links will be up. I'll make sure that if we, if Mike puts it up, dolphinstalk.com on Twitter, I'll make sure we retweet it from all of our stuff too. Just so
it's already
on
up
there.
On Twitter. Yep.
Okay. Very so good. It's going to be retweeted as soon as I get off this podcast with you two guys. So we'll get it up on there as well. All right. So we got the flowers are all given out here in the beginning of the show. We got some more flowers to give to. Flowers, we got to give to the Miami Dolphins. Big win, 32-26 in overtime. It was a fun game to watch. I mean, for a little bit, I guess, towards the end. A little scary at times. Jets looked like they might be able to pull this one out of the hat. But you know what? Dolphins came back and did it. As I always like to do in the beginning of this, go kind of go over the good, bad, and the ugly with these two guys. Doug, I'll start with you here. Good, bad, and the ugly from the 32-26 win over the Jets in OT.
The good. I have a few goods.
Yep.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Yes.
He was great. Absolutely great. I'm looking at his stats right now. And, you know, on the season, I'm looking at his stats after missing four games. And he's still, you know, the man throws, what, 17? Let me pull it back up since I'm talking
now. I love Statman, Doug.
17 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Come on. Like, the man's playing out of his mind. He's thrown one interception since he came back. Had an absolute great game. Jonnu Smith didn't have a great game, but Jonnu Smith all of a sudden in overtime was just lights out. And a lot of people were wondering, like, oh, why this, why that? People got to realize Jonnu's killing it, so now the defense is going to try to take him away. But, you know, the fact that we ran back-to-back same exact plays in overtime and they worked was just a thing of beauty. Malik Washington, that kid is just on kick returns. You think he's going to get tackled, it's another 15. He got us all the way to 45. So that's the good. The bad, the defense, and that's something that we've been talking about. Hopefully Bradley Chubb comes back this week because we need him. Even Cameron Good, we kind of need him as well. The bad also kind of the offensive line. You know, people look at the offensive line and they look at statistics like pressure and sacks given up and stuff, but it doesn't tell the full story, especially with the way they've been playing, especially the way the run offense is going. Oof, and, you know, I broke down film today, and, you know, there's a lot like Robert Jones, especially Mike Eichenberg, like a lot of bad blocking, and that's something. The ugly is Jalen Ramsey, unfortunately. He had a very, very bad day. The deep pass to
was it Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, my brain just didn't want to work.
No, it's Garrett okay. Wilson, you're going fell. Right.
He fell. He Garrett essentially ran a route where he went up, out, and then back up. When he went out, Ramsey gave his back, and then he tried to like grab him, and he fell. That's why he was butt naked open. If Aaron Rodgers threw an accurate pass, that was an easy touchdown. Even on 4th and 4, the seam route, he got beat across his face. Huge miscommunication between him and Kader Kohou. Kader Kohou also allowing that deep pass to Davante Adams when he didn't know it was a single high safety. It was just the secondary and the defense in a whole, you know, made Aaron Rodgers and that offense that has been struggling without Breece Hall look better than it actually was. But the fact that, you know, I thought the game was over. Once we went down by 8, I was like, you know, that we can't stop them. We can't, right. You know, that was my biggest thing. We ended up stopping them, thank God, because the Jets are the Jets. The Jets also then proceed to convert. They didn't convert, but they got closer into field goal range after a tackle for loss and a sack. But they got pushed out of bounds, which saved the game for us. Also, what saved the game for us is that pass to Tyreek Hill, that it wasn't caught. Because if he catches that, the safety's right there. He gets tackled.
Right.
Clock runs. It would have been the Buffalo Bills game in 2022 where the clock runs and we can't kick the field goal. But it was, you know, Tua put the team on his back, marched us down the field. I threw a beautiful pass to Jonnu for the touchdown. And the fact that Jonnu caught it, too.
Oh, what a great catch.
Defender on his back.
Right.
He didn't bring the ball in. He caught it with, like, it just in his hands. It was a thing of beauty. It sucked that it got to that point, especially when you're facing a team that hasn't won a game since Halloween. We had 10 games to prepare from. It was just a lot of things that I was just sitting there looking at. Like, it shouldn't have been like this. But to me, it's the defense. You know, that's what's really starting to scare me. We saw it against the Packers. We saw it against the Bills, the Cardinals. That defense, I don't know if they can really stop anything, and especially with the way Jalen Ramsey's playing now, it's really going to start worrying me. That's why it would a huge boost if Bradley Chubb can come back. And, you know, the fact that we won and the fact that our percentage of playoff chances went from 13 to 18. And then if we beat the Houston Texans, it's going to go from 18 to 34%. Maybe he gets activated. Because I feel like if they lost, he would have gotten activated. They would have just shut the season down. Right. People would have went to IR. We would have saw the young guys play. But we won. We won big. But it sucks because we won big against a bad team.
Right. You know what? W's a W at this point. That's what we always talk about here. We talk about losses a lot. We got a W, we got to celebrate it. Mike, same thing with you, good, bad, and the ugly.
I don't know if I'll do good, bad, and ugly. Let me answer it this way, though.
Okay.
Two things can be true at the same time. Number one, it was a fun game. It's fun to eliminate the Jets. It was an exciting game at the end. And it's, you know, it was a win, which is good. They fought through it. They came through in the end. Crunch time, clutch time. Everyone came through, made plays. That's awesome. That's true. Here's what else is true. Miami played like crap in this game. And this is more the Jets giving Miami a win than Miami actually like winning the game. Like, we gave away games to the Titans last year at the end of the year. Everyone remembers that game. Like, Tennessee didn't win it. We gave it to them. Right. This year versus the Colts. The Colts didn't win it. We gave it to them. Well, we got to be honest with ourselves when a team hands us a gift. Like, if Adams doesn't go out of bounds there or stuff, like, we lose this game. Like, this was a gift. And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Take the gift, smile, say thank you, and move on with your day. And we're still alive, chance for playoffs, all that good stuff. But this game was so bad by the Dolphins. They had no pressure on the quarterback. They made Aaron Rodgers look like 2015 Aaron Rodgers. They dropped interceptions. They can't tackle anyone to save their lives. Breece Hall didn't play. Didn't matter. Jets were still breaking tackles. Sauce Gardner didn't play. It's like they were out with some key players out. On offense, we can't run the football at all anymore. We just can't run the ball anymore. Right. And Miami in this game, their offense was 1 of 9 on third down. I mean, versus the Jets, you're 1 of 9 on third down. Until the final drive or so and the overtime, this was a bad Dolphins game across the board. Yes, Tua put up some nice numbers. He played well. He came through. He didn't, you know, great. Checks all those boxes. Great. But just overall, this team did not play good. And the Jets were without some key players. And for a team that, you know, we keep saying, if they went out, they're going to make the playoffs. They went out, they're going to – we got everything to gain. They came out and gave us that performance?
Right.
That's not good. It's like – and I think, you know, Doug makes a good point about defense being worried. Yeah, we all should be worried because this defense, in my eyes right now, you can put a fork in them. They're done. They got – it's on E, the gas tank. They got nothing left. They got nothing left. It's old and it looks old. It's slow and it looks slow. And they can't tackle anymore. Because I think they're beat up and worn down. You know, there's nothing left. Right. And this Jets offense has been struggling versus everybody pretty much. Came in this week and it was like Father Time turned back the clock and everyone was just boom, boom, boom. Rodgers going up and down the field. Adams is making plays. Wilson's making plays. They're running the balls with guys nobody's heard of before. I mean, so, and it was the same way versus the Packers. They had their success. This, I hate to say this. I think there's a better chance Miami loses out than wins out. I don't think there's any chance they're going to win out. Like, if they go to Houston and win, I will be pleasantly surprised.
Right.
If they beat San Francisco at home, I will be pleasantly surprised. Forget about the other two games. But I think there's just a good chance that they lose these last four, that there is a win-off. Where the odds are it'll probably be like 2-2 or 3-1 or 1-3. But I think if you're asking me, put down $100, are they going to go 4-0 in the next four or 0-4? I'm probably going at 0-4 because this defense has nothing left. The offense has its problems. Like, I don't need to see Armstead out there anymore. This is Patrick Paul's time now. Right. That's his job. Patrick Paul should play. That's his spot now. But they can't run the ball. And they got to do better on third down. If you can't convert third down versus that defense, which ain't nothing special, I don't care what the rankings say, that defense, if you can't convert third downs at home against that defense, I mean, you're not going to beat San Francisco or Houston. That's just real. So, yes, they won. It's great. Our quarterback came through clutch at the end of the game. That's awesome. There's a lot of good. I don't want to make it seem like it's all bad. But anyone who watched that game or sat through it, I mean, you cannot feel good about what you saw, even though they won.
Right.
It's like, take the gift, because it was a gift.
Right. You take the W because it's a W, but at that point, we can talk about everything else. My big thing with this, if I had to do good, bad, and ugly, the run game, I just don't know what happened. I mean, I get it. That sometimes it's just not working, but 19 carries for 44 yards. compared to where we were like 4 or 5 weeks ago when the run game was all that this team had. There was no passing. They couldn't throw the ball. And then all of a sudden, the run game is just non-existent anymore at that point. Offensive line-wise, running back-wise, scheme-wise, whatever it is.
It's the offensive line. It's right, the offensive
line. It's just non-existent. It's kind of gone. I will tell you this. Ugly game or not, it's really good to see Tyreek and Waddle back being the playmakers for this team, because that is what the most exciting part of this team has been since Mike McDaniel's been here, and this offense has been what it is seeing those two guys and force feeding him. No problem with that either, because it works at times. Sometimes it doesn't, but it obviously worked here. Tyreek was targeted 14 times to 10 catches. Waddle targeted 12. He had 9 catches. So the consistency is there with those two guys. But the run game has to get a little bit better. Tua, Doug hit it right. Not good, not bad, not ugly. Great. Tua really was. He's really showing me something here in these last couple, since he's been back. And the reason why I know Tua might be, I see Tua, I know, and then Tua might be the guy going forward, is because I've got buddies that are non-Dolphin fans that watched the Dolphin game and said, man, I wish we had a guy like Tua. And that to me, it's like, wow, you know what? Because 6, 7 weeks ago, I don't know if I would have said that. Maybe in the middle of last year times, I don't know if I would have said that. But I'm kind of looking at it now, looking around the NFL and going, you know what? If they could just do everything they have to do, which is what you have to do with Tua as your quarterback, to put around him and make sure it works. It can work. And if this defense was better, go ahead. Yeah.
You're 100% right. I just want to throw out the other side quick, because the other side's fair. I'm not saying I totally agree with the other side, but it is a fair point. He needs to do it in a big spot in a big moment.
I get it.
Until he does,
right?
There's going to be the doubters.
100%.
If he wants to shut them up, he's got to do it in a big spot. He just does. Right. And you know the Jets at home, who are terrible.
Right.
That's not a big, I'm glad he did it.
Right.
Because I'd rather have him do it than not. But do it this week at Houston, down by 4.
Yes.
2 minutes left. Pick up 80 yards for a touchdown and win the game. Got to win. Yeah. Do that. But until that moment happens, and I don't count week 2 versus the Ravens last year, or week 3 versus the Bills, however many years ago that was, that doesn't count. That's September football. Doing a big moment late in the year in a big spot, that until that happens, you're going to have the critics, and those critics aren't necessarily wrong.
No, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. I just can now, I'm looking at it sometimes from the eyeglasses of someone who's not a Dolphins fan, who doesn't watch it like the three of us do. And when that comment is said to me, and, I don't know exactly what team, my two buddies that, their favorite teams are and quarterbacks are. But the whole point is, I get it. I get now watching it from the outside looking in and going, yeah, if it's working, it's really, really good. And when it's not, I get it. But that's for everybody. Any quarterback in the league can have just a 2 or 3 game stretch where they just stink. They just look bad. Offense is not playing good. Then they kind of jump out of it. Outside of Tua getting hurt, if you just put his healthy games in these last 2 seasons together, I mean, the dude is right up there. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Lamar Jackson. And he's not at times Joe Burrow. I get that. You want to put those guys in another category, that's fine. Tua's not that far behind those guys. Mm-hmm. Now, he needs to win, because the other 4 guys I just mentioned, outside of probably the Lamar thing, because that'll always be until he actually wins a Super Bowl or gets there.
Yeah, but he's won MVPs, though. Yeah, but he's won MVPs.
Right, so that he has in his back pocket.
In the North.
In a very tough division as well. Burrow has won, gotten to the Super Bowl. Josh Allen needs to get there, but you could just see with Josh Allen, he's probably the best quarterback in the league right now. And then Mahomes is Mahomes. That's fine. Some of these quarterbacks are in a different tier, so I'm not putting Tua in that tier. I'm just putting him under it in that other tier. It's like the elite, good, and bad. He's at the top of the good list. He's not in the elite, and it's going to take him a big victory, a couple playoff wins, and possibly a trip to the Super Bowl at minimum to put him in that category. But I will tell you this, looking around the league at times and then seeing Tua have a game like this or have a couple game stretch where he's like this, man, oh, man. I know there's 2 haters out there, 2 doubters out there in this point, and you might not like him because you might not like him, and that's fine. But I'm happy to have him as my quarterback the way he played these last couple weeks since he's been back, even with those 2 last-second losses and a couple bad ones. I'm happy. And hearing that from someone who is not a Dolphins fan, that also, to me, goes, okay, maybe we do have something here that we kind of see, but we're not really, we're looking at it through a lens, like a scientific kind of microscopic lens. I get that because we're Dolphin fans. But it is what it is. I would say that's probably the good or the great from that game this weekend. But it was like a sweated out game. You know, at this point, you beat the Jets in overtime. You're going to get the W, but man, oh man, let's move on at that point because you don't want to think about that too much. Right. I get it. So I get that. But Mike, you're right. The other side of this, 100%. Until we see something big, until we see him take that drive at the end of the game, forget cold weather or not, give me something at the end of the game against a good team. You're 6-7 now. Every week is the playoffs for this team now. Every single week. Because now if you lose, you're done. At this point, if they lose another game, they're probably out of it at this point. They're just on the brink. So, yeah, there's a little excitement there, but there's a lot to clean up. And Mike, you are right about this, and I'll stick with you here, and then we'll go to Dougley after. You need to work on a lot of things this offseason to make this team better. You got to start on defense and get a little bit younger. Offensive line, we already know, although if the same people are in place, they're going to tell us not to worry about it. But defensively, they need
to blow it up. They got to blow it up.
You got to get some dogs out there. And Calais Campbell's 107 years old. I mean, you can't bank on him. Depend on him. Well, right.
Exactly. Look, here's the deal. If he wants to come back and play, which I'm not sure he will, and if you want to sign him, great. He's going to be 39. He's only giving you 35 snaps now. What are you going to get next year? 20? I mean, you cannot bank on him.
No.
I mean, so but take him out of the mix. And let's not count the two injured guys in Chubb and Jalen. You look at this defense roster. Outside of Sealer, Chop and Ramsey, you got nothing.
Right.
You got nothing.
The cupboard.
Now you might
really
have some guys who are okay backups, but we're asking them to start. Right. Like if they pay Javon Holland big money, make him a top five paid safety in this league, I know this organization's clueless. And I love Javon Holland. And if you asked me this 6 months ago, I would have said, pay him what he wants, keep him. Right. He has played himself out of that big contract this year. Mm-hmm. He has not played well. Jordan Poyer, bye-bye. Marcus May, we already cut, so we ain't gotta worry about that. Right. You know, Patrick Morris, who the hell knows what you got there? At corner, Kendall Fuller's due 8.5 next year. He ain't saying. He's gone. Kader Kohu, been a little bit of a roller coaster. Again, as a backup, fine, I guess. Storm Duck, undrafted free agent, who cares? Cam Smith, boss, just going to call it right now. Right. Your linebackers, they all can go.
Right.
Agba, he can go. He's old. He's part of the problem. Nice guy. He plays okay, but he's old. Late in the year, what has he done in recent weeks? Not much. Jordan Brooks is a downgrade from Jerome, so I don't know how he even got better there this year, but okay, whatever. He can go. Walker, goodbye. Jones, Hand. Outside of three players, not counting the two injuries, guys, they got to bring in so many players on defense. Forget offense where you got to pay a real backup quarterback. You need at least one guard, maybe two. You need a backup swing tackle if you're going to promote Paul, and you got to spend all that money. The defense alone is a disaster heading into next year, and that's – you got 10 draft picks, great. We know – maybe get one or two of them who will contribute in year one or two, because that's all we get usually from a draft. They're going to have to make cap space. They're going to have to spend money. This roster heading into 2025, which I know that's not a show for today, is not good. And anyone who tries to tell you it's in good look, you got the high-level guys, Tua, Hill, Waddle, Ramsey, Sealer. You're great. You got five, six names, big-name guys who are great. You got nothing behind them right now.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem. That's especially on defense. This roster needs a lot of work. It's going to be Greer, as much as we don't want it to be. But he's got his work cut out for him this offseason, because you got to blow up that defense, because it is so bad right now. And all the flaws are coming to be exposed, you know, late in the year, because these guys are old. They're breaking down and they look old, slow, and tired. You just watch the games. Yeah, they won. Yay. They look old, slow, and tired on defense. They can't make a play.
Right. Dougley, I know the tape guy in you is trying to scream out stuff about the defense. What have you seen on the defensive side, by the way, that you like and dislike at this point? And name players, if that is the case at this point, too. And then where does that have to do with Anthony Weaver as well? Scheme-wise, whatever-wise. But your thoughts on kind of where the defense is in Anthony Weaver.
So players that I like, I really like the way Chop Robinson is playing.
Really good lately.
He gets a ton of pressure, and his biggest thing coming out of college was that first step, how quick it was, how that burst, how quick it was. And we're starting to see it, and we're starting to see him take that and mix it with really good pass rush moves that he's learning from Bradley Chubb and going and practicing against Teron Armstead on when the practice is over. That man gets held. Like, holy crap. When I'm watching film, and obviously not all holds are getting called in the NFL, so I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, they all should have been called. No, but he is getting held, and that is because he is dangerous. And, you know, he's going to be somebody on this team, especially if Jalen Phillips can stay healthy.
Right.
You have those two guys on opposite side on the outside. And that's what I was saying. When we drafted Chop Robinson, to me, that was the plan. It was, you got Jalen Phillips coming in on his fifth. You got the rookie Chubb, Chop coming in.
Right.
Chubb's gone. Because you're going to save a lot of money when you cut Chubb next year. That was the plan. Is it still the plan? I don't know. But that was the plan, because now you have these two young guys. Right. Then you have Phillips. If he can show he can stay healthy. And again, this last injury was not his fault. It was Jordan Poyer being Jordan Poyer and shooting at his knee. And even the Achilles injury wasn't really his fault. It was the turf. It was freak injuries. But he is having Phillips and then having Chop on a second year. It's going to be dangerous on the outsides. And I'm very excited for that. Interior guys, I would like to, you know, if it's for a bare minimum. But again, if I'm the Dolphins, I'm going to let Campbell go find, you know, a team that is literally on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl, because he deserves it. But he's been great for us. Sealer has been great for us. Outside of that, like Mike said, he got nobody.
Nobody.
Got nothing.
Right.
Nothing. There's nothing there. Could,
you know, and that's the thing that sucks. And again, when we won the other day on Sunday, and I saw Stephen Ross on the sideline with a big grin on his face, I was like, shit.
He was like,
he's not going to fire Greer.
Right.
Like, I don't care if he keeps Mike McDaniel.
Right.
Goes over to Mike. He's like, I like you. I'm going to keep you, but Greer's got to go. Like, I was just like, I was happy we won. And then I saw that video and I was like,
it hurts. Right.
I was like, right. And prime example is, I like Patrick Paul. Watching the film on Patrick Paul, big bruiser, needs to get a little bit more of his technique. But again, second round pick. Love Patrick Paul. I think he could be really good for us at left tackle. Tennessee Titans took a very dangerous defensive tackle. I think a few picks before that, you know, Dolphins could have took with either Chop or whatever. The Dolphins need to go out and find themselves another Wilkins type draft pick. But, you know, looking at this defense as a whole, you know, is all, like Mike was saying, it's a lot that they have to address, a lot. Right. Safety wise, there's, you know, good portions, and Mike hit the nail on the head. The play where Javon Holland, they threw a quick screen.
Went to business for himself.
They blitzed Kader Kohu. They threw a quick screen to Davante Adams, and Javon Holland went into the block with Garrett Wilson. He didn't try to tackle Davante Adams, who was stumbling over his feet. He went to the block with Garrett Wilson. And I was just like, what are you doing? Like, if you want money, if you want them to bet, if you want any team to back up the Brinks truck, because I'm not the only one who's watching film on you.
Right.
That's what you're going to put on film is bad. But to get to your main point about Weaver, it sucks because he has to deal with the players he has, like Bowser and Ogba, who's literally playing with one arm because he has that torn bicep, and you know, you got defensive tackles that aren't really great. I do like Brooks, but Walker's just slow as molasses. Like, he's a problem. Your safeties are hot garbage. Your Kader Kohu is just horrible in coverage.
Lost. Right. He's lost.
There's only so much he can call, but then he calls things like he sends an all-out blitz. Or he sends a blitz where he's blitzing Brooks. It is third and six. And I watch Jalen Ramsey back up 10 yards. And then when Garrett Wilson runs a 6-yard out route, he backs up another five, and it's easier. Like, it's plays like that that I'm like, if you're going to send these types of blitzes, which Brian Flores did against Lamar Jackson, he had all our corners pressing. Because if you're going to send a blitz like that, right, you have to make sure that you disrupt the routes. So when the pressure gets there, they can't get the ball out quick. Jam the receiver at the line. If you get beat, you get beat, but the pressure should get there and you're fine. It's some of those things that I'm just like, oh, it drives me nuts. And, you know, if it's like a third and long, like a third and 20 or something, he always brings them back. And, you know, you notice that the way they play the first down marker, don't give up the first. I would like a little bit more aggression out of him, a little bit more of that Ravens defense. But again, I'm thinking, is he doing that in fear of my safety suck? And right, I don't want, you know, 100%, what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's like, I can't blame Weaver too much, but this team is beat to hell. And that is all on Chris Greer. Like, you let guys go Andrew Van Ginkle, Deshaun Elliott, Brandon Jones. Deshaun Elliott and Brandon Jones are two guys you could have brought back for the same price you paid Marcus May and Jordan Poyer, and we would have been fine at the safety position.
Right now,
the corner position is the corner position. We tried to say, hey, we got to see what Cam Smith can do, and we got these young guys, but you know, you're putting undrafted free agents out there instead of going out and getting potentially another corner. Makes no sense. And a lot of the problems with the Dolphins, going back to what we were talking about before with Tua Tagovailoa, is fundamentally the team built around them. You know, we named elite quarterbacks. Like, we named Joe Burrow, who went to the Super Bowl. You go back to that playoff run, if that defense doesn't help him against Tennessee, he never makes it to the Super Bowl. You look at all these other teams where these quarterbacks, like Jalen Hurts, he has an all-star team around him. Before that happened, they were stocking up on first-round picks to replace him. So, you know, you look at Tua, they built an offensive line in front of him like they have Lamar Jackson at quarterback. Right. No, you have to look at it like you have Peyton Manning, Drew Brees at quarterback. Well, we don't expect big plays down the field if your quarterback has to get the ball out quick. I just looked up the stat. Again, for the third year in a row, he is dead last in the NFL with time to throw. Now, that's not release time. That's how much time from the ball being snapped to pressure being on him he has to get the ball out. Dead, and it's not even dead last in 32 quarterbacks. It's ranked 50. And he is dead last. It's like 2.3 seconds he has to get that ball out. But now people are going to complain that he's dinking and dunking instead of stretching the field. He's giving what he takes.
Right.
And the fact they're last is fine when you're playing the Patriots and the Raiders and these garbage teams. You can overcome that.
Exactly.
But when you play the Packers in the first half, he's high, he's low, he's short. Yeah, because when the game mattered and they're going all out at 100%, you need that extra second or half second. Let's say last year, Chiefs in the playoffs, Chiefs regular season. It's not against the bad teams. You can overcome those versus the bad teams. Because as I always say, Mike McDaniel and Tua, nobody beats up on bad teams like Mike McDaniel and Tua. They just run it up and they just overwhelm you with the play calling, with the talent, speed. They can just overwhelm you. You play the good teams and you need that extra second as a quarterback. He ain't got it.
Right.
And it's not necessarily his fault, but this goes back to what's the vision? What's the blueprint? There isn't one in Miami. There isn't one. We got idiots in charge. No offense. We got idiots in charge. We got Chris Greer's got no vision, no big plan. He just thinks we'll pay speed guys and edge rushers, and that's all that matters. And we'll find offensive linemen. Jordan Poyer's good enough. Linebackers, Fugats linebackers. Who cares? We're going to sack him before we need a linebacker every play. Like, that makes sense. There's no vision. And this offseason, fans, here's a spoiler. If you think now after all these years they finally learned, they're going to go out there and get two big, nasty guards, and we're going to have this wall. It ain't happening because they want smaller, undersized guys who are nimble on their feet and can move. Because it makes no sense to put two big, nasty guards next to Aaron Brewer, who's nimble and can move. That doesn't make any sense. You got to get two guys like Aaron Brewer at guards and have everyone to move in sync. So if you think they're just going to run it up the middle next year on third and short every time, it'd be fine. It ain't going to happen because they don't want that personnel. They want those quick, nimble guards who are a little bit undersized who can move on their feet. So that's what they're going to get, and they're probably going to go cheap on it, and they'll probably get guys with an injury history or someone over 30 and who's on there like the last years, and it's going to be this cycle of hell that we never get out of, but that's our future. And I'm telling you now, on December 10th, we'll talk again in March, and let me know after the first week of free agency, if they broke the bank on a quality guard, I'm telling you they won't. And if they do, happy to be wrong.
Right. With all this said, the negative stuff that we're talking about, I would be happy if we're all wrong at this point. You know,
I'd be happy if all of a sudden come, when's the last game? January, what?
Sixth or seventh, right? Yeah, something like that.
All of a sudden, that Black Monday, Chris Greer is gone. We're throwing a party on here.
Right. I mean, listen. That happens.
I feel horrible because that's a man's job, but
we're not talking about the guy down the street from your house who sells insurance. You want him to lose his job.
He's got money. He's fine.
Right. Chris Greer has been doing this for 20 years. He's got a bank. Okay. He doesn't
get a job at Delta. Bank account. Fine there.
Right. He's got a bank at this point. I'm not worried about that at that point. And you know what? If Jeff Ireland and those other guys could still get jobs around the league, Chris Greer will be hired by some idiot to run their
team. Tannenbaum will give him a recommendation, and all these searches he's being hired for now. Tannenbaum's working with the Jets. He's working, I think, with the Bears. He's just going to be recommending people. Chris Greer will be recommended somewhere and do just fine.
100%. All right, before we get out of here, give me 60 seconds each on how the Dolphins can beat the Texans this week. Mike, I'll start with you here. You got 60 seconds. Go ahead.
I don't need 60. I'll give you, like, I don't know, 20. Hope Houston gets food poisoning before the game and they all got the craps. I mean, I don't know how we're going to Houston to win this game.
I actually was going to give you a caveat and say, I'm going to give you 60 seconds. The only thing you can't say is score more points. Everything else.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to say score more points. I think Houston's got to get ill or something. Look, here's the deal. This is going to be a tough game. At least it's indoors. You can't cry about the weather. It's indoors. It's in the dome. I think Miami will actually get some points. I think they'll put up some points, but I think Houston just, again, for all the reasons we said, you know, I think Joe Mixon's probably going to have probably have a career day and run for like 150 yards and break, you know, 25 tackles on a day and score. He might pull an Al Bundy and score 4 touchdowns in one game. I don't know, but I think Joe Mixon's going to have a big day. It's going to be tough to stop Houston's offense with all the issues we have on defense right now. And again, I think, you know, I will say this one positive thing about the offense. We have crawled back out of this hole, which we put ourselves in this hole, but we've crawled out of it and got close to 500. If we ever crack 500 this year, I don't know, but I will give them credit. They haven't quit. They play hard. They just don't have the talent on defense to seriously win these next four. And even if they do win these next four, what's your reward? Go to Buffalo, head up to Kansas City and lose by 50 in the snow. I don't even know if I want to see that. But I don't think they're going to be Houston this week.
Doug Lee, same thing for you.
You're facing a team that has a bad offensive line. Funny to say that because they have Laremy Tunsil there.
Right.
26th in the NFL and giving up sacks. They've given up 42 sacks. You look at what the New York Jets did to them on Halloween, completely, you know, just constantly getting after C.J. Stroud. Bradley Chubb's got to play, man. You know, if he, this is the second week he's now been practicing. He was on a limited basis. It's not like he didn't practice. He was on a limited basis last week. This is the game that you got to bring him back. Like I said before, you know, if they lost to the Jets, I fully expected him not to come back. I expected Tyreek Hill to get wrist surgery and, you know, all these guys to all of a sudden start popping up on the IR. But we didn't. We won. And now this is a situation where we have to keep winning. They go 10-7. They have like a 90%+ chance of making the playoffs. And then there's other situations where they actually can get the sixth seed. But overall, they have to win. They have to continue to win. I'm with Mike. I'm predicting this game like I predicted the Green Bay Packers game. When going into that Packers game, I was like, I don't know how the Dolphins defense is going to stop the Packers offense. I was right, unfortunately. The Texans offense isn't as scary to me as the Packers is because they have the 18th ranked offense. We have the 19th ranked offense. For me, it's their defense. Like, if you look at it statistically, you would think, oh, this is going to be a good game because they have the 18th ranked offense. We have the 19th ranked. And again, that is a big disparity because Tua wasn't there for 4 games.
Right.
And they have the 5th ranked defense and we have the 9th ranked defense. But again, that's a disparity because of teams we played, but also teams they've played. They played the South. So you look at it statistically, you're like, oh, it should be a good game. I just don't know. Maybe it's a situation like we had just previously where the Dolphins make a stop and our offense takes advantage of it. But, you know, we'll see how the injury report looks for the Texans, if we can get lucky there. But it's I could see us losing by like 10. I could see us losing because we have to punt because our offensive line breaks down going up against right. Anderson and these other Hunter right. and these really good pass rushers. And then we don't have enough time to make a 2-score game up. So I don't see us winning this game.
All right. No, that's it. And by the way, I was going to end this with letting Mike tear down Delta. I'm not going to let him do that here because I just want to say shame on you, Delta, but I want to give props where props is. Mike was down here this weekend, and the Hard Rock Hotel down here took very good care of him, and I like when my brethren from the Northeast, whether it's Doug Lee or Mike or any of those guys, come down here and someone has something good happen to them this week.
Let me say this, too, real quick. Right. Let me take a minute. 1 minute. You're okay. I want to say 2 things. First off, the Hard Rock Hotel with the free upgrade to the hotel room in the guitar.
Right.
Awesome. You guys are the best. I love the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Number one. Number two, the shuttle from the Hard Rock Hotel Casino to Hard Rock Stadium for $10. Awesome. Love it. Can't say enough good things about it. And here's the deal with Delta. Right now, they're in the doghouse.
Right.
Let's talk about this in a week. They might be in the penthouse because, you know, for people who like history, you know, go back to the Civil War. General Sherman went through Georgia, through Atlanta in like a month, and actually ended and pretty much won the Civil War for the Union. I felt yesterday I was going to spend more time in Georgia than Sherman did on his march through Georgia. I felt like I was trapped there all day. And it's all because of Delta and their incompetence. That's why if we let go of Chris Greer, he should get a job at Delta. He'd fit right in. But I think Delta, after talking to them today, they already gave me 5,000 Sky Mile points to use. So they're already plus.
So they're taking
and I
care
might
of you.
Be getting a full credit. And if I get a full credit, now I won't know for like 5 or 6 days because I got to review the whole situation, which they will because it ain't just me asking for this. And when they do, if they come through, Delta will go from the doghouse to the penthouse. If they come through, because they really screwed up royally and my day stunk.
Yeah.
But I got faith Delta might come through here and do the right thing. Because look, I'm already at war with sixth rental cars.
I know.
Don't rent a car from sixth. As I said, walk the freeway before you rent a car from sixth or that bad. You can use Enterprise. You can use Budget, Alamo. Use anyone. Hertz. Use Hertz. I don't care. Just don't rent from six. But I think Delta's going to come through and not be on my poo-poo list.
Right. All right. Well, okay. That was a good ending then at that point. And Hard Rock Hotel, when Dougley does come down, take care of him as well, please. All right. The upgrades. Yeah. The dinner, the whole deal, get it all done here. I need my
Northeast brethren. Well, they charged me for the dinner at the steakhouse, but okay, that's fair.
Right. I mean, I figured that was going to end up happening.
And it was just as good as it was last month, Zach. Just as good.
It was delicious. Shout out to Council Oak there as well. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. I wanted to make sure we ended on a good note, and the Delta thing was actually a good note at this point. Take care of my boy Mike at that point.
Wait till next week. I'll know if it's a good.
Right. We'll know more next week at this point. Dougley, tell everyone where to find all the stuff.
YouTube.com/DougleyDurong. Anywhere at Dougley Riddle.
Just search his name.
It's weird.
You'll be
it's
fine. Everything is safe for work. You don't have to worry about opening up at work. No. You're good to go at that point. Until Dougley comes on here every once in a while and just drops a bomb, and that's okay. We like that. We're doing radio this week, but I already marked off where you are, so I'll get that bleeped out. Mike, tell everyone where to find all your stuff, and one more time, how to vote on the two podcast awards you're up for.
Go to the website, dolphinstalk.com, and also on all social media, at dolphinstalk. And folks, we got to vote. Here's the deal. If you've ever been on social media and you've seen like Mina Kimes, oh, she's saying bad things about Dustin, this is your chance to get back at her. Vote for us. It's your chance. If you don't like the Kelce brothers because you're just annoyed at them, or they always put Taylor on TV, this is your chance to get back at them. Vote for us. If you're annoyed by Tom Curran, that Patriots guy who says Mike McDaniel's not a real coach, he's short. This is your chance to get back at him. Vote for us. So all the links to vote are I will put in the chat on this YouTube, and I will also have up on all our social media at Dolphins Talk. Vote for us. I approve this message.
Well done and well said there. All right, that's going to do it for us. This has been the Krantz's Corner Dolphins Roundtable. For Dougley, for Mike, I am Zach. Thanks for always watching, supporting, commenting, the whole deal. We'll make sure the link is up for the voting as well. Make sure you're following Dougley on YouTube as well. Let's get him to 60,000 by next week. How about that? Can we do it? Can we do it, folks? We'll try. Even if I have to just follow him from every account I have and make fake ones up. We will get him to 60,000 sooner rather than later. All right, for the boys, this has been another edition of Krantz's Corner Dolphins Roundtable.